And joining us right now is Charles Egry. He is, of course, the co-executive producer, along with James Cameron, of the great show called Dark Angel, which we have done extensive promotion of here at PNP Network.
Well, thank you very much.
We have interviewed 90% of your cast members. The only one we haven't got yet was Jessica Alba.
Well, we got to fix that.
We would like to have her on. I'd like to have her in person, but you know, the phone will have to do, I guess. But hey, we had the whole cast on. In fact, we had Michael on as well. And I remember saying to him, you know, there seems to be the chemistry between you two that's just remarkable. And he said,
Well, you can't make that stuff up, you know.
No, but it was interesting to find that that I was right on the dot then in terms of the chemistry they had. And that is amazing to me when casting people put together people like that and there's such a chemistry that actually in reality it becomes so.
Well, you know, I mean, what was interesting is, you know, we had already cast Jessica in the role. And I think we were down to our last three callbacks, and we brought Michael in. And Michael was, you know, had never met Jessica before. And the camera was sort of locked off just on Jessica, who was sitting down in a chair. And Michael was walking back and forth, kind of wiping frame, and asking a bunch of questions about, you know, where do you want me to stand, and asking about the character and this and that and the other thing. And what was so interesting in looking at the tape afterwards is Jessica never took her eyes off this guy. He walked back and forth, and wherever he was in the room, her eyes were on him. And it was then I knew that we had a home run in terms of the personal chemistry between the two of them. I didn't know that it was going to flower into, you know, what's taking place.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have an extraordinary bond.
It's wonderful, and
yeah.
I love the show. It's a great show. And
thank you so much.
I think one of the keys is what you just said, and that is Jessica. I mean, what a find she is.
Jessica is the show. I mean,
yeah.
we really, fortunately, I happen to have my eyes wide open when she walked into casting that day, because had we not gone with her, we wouldn't be here today, because she really is extraordinary.
She really is. Well, I can't see you not picking her. I mean, if she walked into a room, every eye is going to be on her. And I'm sure, though, that many people that tried out have the same kind of look, but she's got something about her.
Something different. But also keep in mind, she came in almost 4 years ago, so she wasn't quite this self-possessed, you know, woman who just really owns the space that she's in, that she is now. You know, she was a little more tentative and a little more hesitant. She didn't have the body of experience, and she, in all honesty, hadn't developed the acting chops that she has now. But there was something about her that just demanded that you look at her. There's an intensity about her. She had this wonderfully aggressive attitude, I guess. I mean, there was something about her that she just inhabited the character. And as a writer, it was great, because we cast her before I'd actually written the script. I'd written one scene just for casting purposes. So I had the wonderful luxury that most TV writers don't have, that I was able to, you know, I had her voice and her sensibility in my head as I sat down to write the pilot with Jim. Consequently, there was a kind of a congruence between who the character of Max became and the woman playing it, because she just was in my mind as I was writing the character.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now, before this show, I don't have a resume of yours in front of me, and people listening may not have been familiar with your career. I assume you've written for a number of things and done many other things. Tell me some of the things that led up to Dark Angel.
Well, you know, I had about every odd job in the world after I got out of college. I was born in Boston. And
part of Boston were you born?
I was born in Brookline.
Oh, okay.
My mom lives down on the Cape, and I have a sister, Betsy, and her three kids that live in Danvers.
Wow.
So I really hail from that neck of the woods. But when I got out of college, I came out here and worked for Roger Corman for a while, doing all sorts of low-budget horror films. That's where I met Jim Cameron. And then I found my way into television, and my first job in television also had a Boston connection. I did a show called St. Elsewhere.
Oh, wow.
Which you might remember was set at St. Allegia's Hospital in Boston. And from St. Elsewhere, I went on to Moonlighting, and I ran that show. Worked on Moonlighting for 3 years.
What was it like dealing with the situation with the two volatile stars.
Well, I came off of that show feeling like I could probably work with Marlon Brando. It was tough. They were a couple of really tough folks and to work with. And well, let's just say it didn't add years to my life. Let me put it that way. And then I went to work for Stephen Bochco, and I worked with Stephen for almost a decade. Worked with him on L.A. Law, a show called Civil Wars. Then I created a show with him called Birds of Paradise that was set in Hawaii. And we did a show together that he and I co-created called Murder One. Did a little hitch on NYPD Blue there for a while, and then...
all the shows you mentioned have one thing in common, excellent writing. So I guess that's a compliment to you.
Oh, well, thanks. Thanks. I mean, I was fortunate to have really gotten a shot at becoming a writer during this sort of second golden age of television, you know, the MTM era, where there was really a great deal of emphasis put on you know, the quality of what's on the page.
I mean, seeing elsewhere in L.A. Law and shows like that, where they were trailblazers in terms of a good ensemble, well-written, well-acted shows.
I was very fortunate, and also to have been able to work with people like Stephen Bochco and David Milch, folks like that. They set the bar pretty high. So that when Jim and I sat down to do something together, even though it was something of a departure genre-wise from what I've been doing, we still put a great deal of emphasis on scene work and just the writing, you know, what's on the page, because, you know, the old cliche, if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage.
Hmm. How much power did it have that James had just come off the great Titanic experience and really had an incredible name in terms of bringing this show, Dark Angel, to Fox?
Well, we knew that we were going to do the show for Fox. Dark Angel just has that kind of Fox branding to it. It's not a show, for example, that, you know, we would have taken to CBS. So when we sat down and conceptualized what the show was, we were really coming up with something that would fit on the Fox network.
Yeah, the only other network I would have put it on, if it wasn't on Fox, is maybe FX channel,
yeah,
or a sci-fi,
yeah,
channel.
Although that was still, you know, kind of in its beginning stages,
right,
4 years ago when we started getting this thing going.
Mm.
But Jim, I mean, obviously his reputation and his special relationship with Fox, because that's, you know, the studio that he's done all of his movies for, allowed us the opportunity to do a bigger pilot than, you know, most producers would have gotten the shot to do. You know, we were able to do a two-hour pilot, and we had a bigger budget than is customary. And I certainly, in terms of the notice that the public takes of our show, because it's got Jim's name on it, people tended to pay attention, and I think I'm hoping that's going to translate into an uptick in our numbers here this coming week, because Jim's has directed the season finale for us, the 90-minute show at the end of this season.
They are giving us some good promotion on the network as well.
Well, I hope everybody tunes in.
Well, we're gonna promote it right now.
We've got around the schedule a little bit this year, so you know, we've had a hard time holding on to our audience. We moved from Tuesday at 9 to Friday at 8, and then Friday at 9. So I'm hoping that this will get people to come check us out again.
Now, it's gonna be Friday at 8:30 this time, right?
Is that it? You know,
I believe that's when they're putting it on. It's an hour and a half show, and I believe it's on Friday, 8:30 to 10.
I'm embarrassed to say I actually don't know. That sounds right, though.
I think I've done my homework, so it's 8:30 to 10 on Friday. And, you know, what's interesting to know is when we started doing all the interviews, in fact, we have a Dark Angel page on PNP Network we've had up since it came on the air, because we've interviewed most of the cast, as I mentioned. I'll never forget the letter I got from someone who was in a wheelchair that had been so excited to see Michael Weatherly's character in that wheelchair, and that he was a strong character. And and I was just wondering if you folks realized when you were writing it and when he was performing in it, how powerful that could be to some people who were in a similar situation.
Absolutely. I mean, having written about from the issue side of things, whether it's St. Elsewhere or on some of the law shows, had explored the issue of disabled people or differently abled people. But in this instance, we specifically wanted to create a situation where there was some impediment to Max and Logan getting together. And when I call it his disability an impediment, I mean mostly emotionally. I mean, mm-hmm. If you remember back in the pilot, Max ends up feeling very guilty that this has happened to him, and she feels like she could have prevented it from happening. So we did that because we didn't want the relationship to domesticate too early, taking a page and a lesson learned from Moonlighting. The minute mm-hmm. you put two people together, I mean, the air kind of goes out of things.
Right.
But by putting Michael in the wheelchair, it was so interesting because our audience just discounted that very, very quickly as any kind of obstacle to their relationship. They just saw Michael's character, Logan Cale, for the guy, the attractive, magnetic guy that he is, and looked right past that disability. And, ultimately it wasn't an impediment at all. And it was just a fun thing to be able to do.
Mm. And we mentioned, the characters of Max and Logan, but a lot of the periphery characters are also fun. They're either comic relief or they're very useful, and they're well integrated into the plot as well.
Well, thank you. It's what I do.
We're talking to Charles Egli. He's, of course, the executive producer of Dark Angel, which is airing this Friday, a special season-ending episode at 8:30. And I assume that's been renewed for next year.
We have not heard yet.
You're kidding.
We won't hear probably until like the 13th or so of May. I mean, you never really hear until the last minute. You know,
well, folks out there
probably won't know until we're already going to be late for our flight to New York.
Folks out there can write to go down to fox.com and write your letters and your emails. Send them out there. Make sure they renew Dark Angel. The other thing that I want to tell everybody about is, since I'm a big Dark Angel fan, there's now a Dark Angel original television soundtrack album.
Let's talk about that
soundtrack album. It's on Artemis Records, and it features, of course, the title song from Public Enemy. And it has a song there that I'm just in love with that song. It's called Bring It to Me by Samantha Cole. What a great song that is. Whew.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I really had a wonderful time putting this album together. The whole thing is that, you know, every TV show wants to have its own soundtrack album, but the question is, what does it sound like? I mean, what is the musical identity of a show? And in most cases, TV shows don't have them. But hip-hop was pre-existent as the driving force to this program before there was even a script. So for me, it was an opportunity to work with some heroes of mine, Chuck D from Public Enemy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then in putting our soundtrack together, what I didn't want it to be was a compilation of stuff that was available on other artists' albums, you know, that just sort of gets repurposed and repackaged under the Dark Angel label with Jessica's picture on the front. So what we've got is an album that is 85% original material that had been written specifically for our show. You mentioned the Public Enemy track with MC Light. There's an MC Light track. She's another, I'm just an enormous fan of hers. MC Light did an original track on the album called No Deals.
No Deals, yeah.
We have a track from Kaya, who is a young lady from Clearwater, Florida, Dirty South rapper, and that's blowing up as the fastest breaking R&B hip-hop crossover track in the country right now.
Wow.
That's called My Neck, My Back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a John Forte track with Tricky. And then there's a young lady from my church named Nikki Harris, who listeners may know from Madonna fame. She's been with Madonna for many years. And she wrote a song called The One on our album that's terrific. I'm very proud of the album.
Yeah, it's nice music. It's really, it reflects well on the show, and the show reflects well on it, and the music is excellent. It's a nice compilation, but it's all a lot of original stuff you're not going to hear anywhere else.
That's it. I wanted people to, you know, if they were going to go out and spend their hard-earned Yankee dollars on something, I wanted them to get something that was original and of quality that was consistent with what we're trying to do on the show.
Is this something that Fox TV Network also has to approve when you do a thing like this?
Well, Fox Music, we worked very closely with Fox Music and Artemis Records. And, you know, there is some consultation, for example, the Kaya song that's on there, My Neck, My Back, that's the radio version of that song. There's a remix out there that leaves nothing to the imagination. My Neck, My Back doesn't leave a whole lot to the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But just because we have a very young audience, you know, we have to be mindful of standards and practices to some degree. But essentially, the requirements of broadcast standards is about the same as what it would be to get a song played on radio in general.
Mm.
So, but we just let them have a listen and make sure that we're not stepping on their toes.
Well, it's a great CD, and I think that it's going to be a successful one in terms of sales. It's called Dark Angel, the original TV soundtrack, and Artemis Records puts it out.
And in stores now.
It is in stores, and it's also, of course, online everywhere.
Yeah, you can go to the Dark Angel website on Fox, fox.com, and go to the website there, and I believe you can click on the album, and I think you can go right to Amazon or right to Artemis Records off of that. But,
right.
You can also walk down to your Tower or Virgin or whatever and pick it up.
And even at the PNPnetwork.com site, we have a connection to Fox, and you can go right
great.
To there. So,
you got it all hooked up.
Oh, you know, the only thing you got to do now is hook me up with Jessica Alba for an interview. That's your job.
You know, when I hang up the phone, I'll pick up the phone and give her a call and see if I can hook that up for you.
Now, I understand your nickname is Chick.
Chick, yes.
Where'd you get that from?
It was something that my parents inflicted on me at birth, and I've been running now for many, many years trying to escape it and never been able to do so. So I just, you know, it's one of those things. My name's Charles, and Charles is just sort of an odd name when it comes to nicknames anyway. I'm not really a Charlie, and I'm not a Chuck, and Chaz is just too creepy for words, and so Chick has just kind of stuck.
Yeah, well, it worked for Chick Corea, but...
Yes, it did. And Chick Hearn, our Laker guy,
uh-huh.
out here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, how are the Lakers doing?
The Lakers are doing great.
And the Celtics are, too.
I just hope that we have the opportunity. I mean, it may be from Boston, but I am a Lakers fan, so
Ooh.
I hope we have the opportunity to come back there and hand you guys your heads, huh?
How are the Dodgers and Angels doing?
You know, I'm not a baseball guy. I wouldn't really know.
Yeah, well, take a look at the standings where the Red Sox are right now.
Pardon me?
I said, take a look at the standings and look where the Red Sox are.
Are they, like, doing
great? They're number one.
Well, good.
Yes. So just, you know, take that back to L.A.
But, I mean, have they played about four games? Or
No. I think they're 16-6 or something.
Oh, okay.
They're doing very well. And so, you know, we had to say something positive about our sports. We just had the Bruins eliminated, so you have to think positive, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're all a little shaken out here because Jerry West got on a plane and flew to Memphis yesterday.
Isn't that amazing?
I know. It's just hard to believe.
Hey, I couldn't believe it either because the guy has really been the Lakers. He's done such a wonderful job over there.
He is the Lakers, kind of, in a way, you know?
Yeah, we had him on our show, and he's a great guy, and he's a genius when it comes to basketball.
Yeah.
And I can't believe the Lakers let him go.
I know. It's strange. It's puzzling.
Yeah,
it is puzzling. It just feels odd. I mean, the guy has just been as much a part of Los Angeles as the Santa Monica Mountains, you know?
It's kind of like when Bobby Orr went to the Chicago Blackhawks or when Babe Ruth went to the Yankees around here. I would assume that's the same feeling that they have out in L.A.
It's very disorienting.
Mm.
Very disorienting. But, listen, I as long as they... Who are they playing next? Maybe San Antonio? As long as they... put some whoop on those guys, huh? It'll be okay.
It will be nice if it's Lakers versus Celtics again, like the old days.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching that back in the day.
And you'll also enjoy folks watching the Dark Angel season-ending episode on Friday at 8:30 on Fox and going and picking up at your local store online the Dark Angel soundtrack CD from Artemis Records. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, listen, my great pleasure. Thank you for having me. And just shout out to everybody back in Boston. Want to say hey to Alex and Jackie and Jonathan and my sister Betts. And I hope everybody's doing well.
All right. Well, from PNPnetwork.com to you, take care and good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.